Okay, it is February 10th already, 2024, Sabbath day. And if you got your Bibles handy, we're on Acts chapter 13. We're supposed to start on verse 27, but I'm going to go backtrack a verse. No, I'm going to go back two verses. I'm going to go all the way back to verse 25. So I'm going to read 25 to 27. So Acts 13 verses 25 to 27 says this. Oops, hold on a second here. Email that to me, Sister Vanessa, and I'll put it on the permanent prayer list, you know. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Brother Anthony, for putting that verses in the room. All right, so it says, As John fulfilled his course, he said, "Whom think ye that I am?" John the Baptist, by the way. "I am not he," you know, speaking of Messiah. "But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose." And then verse 26 says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." I always like the way he says this, you know, about whosoever among you feareth God. I mean, because you could tell he's only going to be speaking when you say stuff like that. You're only speaking to those that study the Word of God, because there's so many people out there that don't fear God at all. And but they'll call themselves Christians. And I was watching a street preacher yesterday, and how this young lady was declaring herself a Christian. And then he asked her a simple question and says, "Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? And who is he to the..." No, that's what he said. "Who is Jesus Christ to the world?" And she goes, No. I'm going to tell you who Jesus Christ is to me personally." I says, "Okay, that's well and good, you know, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you know him, you'll know that he had a global mission. And so who is Jesus Christ to you and to the world? Why did he come?" And she couldn't answer it. And she was getting very angry with him. That's today's world. They want to be called Christians to take away their shame. You know, this Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 is so clear now. It's in front of all of our eyes. There's so many. And that's no mistake, because Satan, he knows. He has to be able to create a church that the people think they're saved in. It's like we've always said, Satan doesn't care if the Jews keep the Ten Commandments. Doesn't care at all. As a matter of fact, he kind of, you know, insists that they do it so that they have that, you know, self-gloried and self-exalted, self-exaltation of, you know, pride. And he doesn't even care if the Christians claim Jesus Christ as Lord. In fact, he insists on that as well, because he's going to appear like he's Jesus very soon in your lifetime, our lifetime, and to bring people away from Jesus. It's just like any spy in a different nation does, you know, like when American spies go to Russia, they have to talk the language, they have to act like Russians, they got to have all the idiosyncrasies, even of the Russians. Just like a Russian spy comes here and he has to act totally like an American. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And so he insists that he doesn't care if the Christians acknowledge Jesus Christ. The only thing that bothers him the most is what we see in Revelation 14:12. When they not only believe in Jesus, but they keep his law. That scares him big time. That is his major issue, and that's where he's going to focus his attack in the coming days. Hence the reason for the mark, because he has to put the Ten Commandments on the table. It has to go out globally. Hence the reason for the pandemic and the way they designed the infrastructure to enforce it. Because we all know what they're doing. They don't. I would think the majority of the leaders out there have no clue as to what they actually did and are still doing, because Satan has them that much befuddled. You know, they really don't have any clue as to what's going on. They see money behind it. Yeah, they look at it and say, "Yeah, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm making a ton of money doing it." And yeah, that's how it works for them. That's how Satan keeps that golden carrot dangling out in front of them so they can keep going on the path he wants them to go. But it's amazing how we can see exactly what they're doing, because soon it's going to be, because we saw what happened during the pandemic when they said that you, like, even out here in the boondocks, you know, you couldn't, Some businesses were demanding you can't come into their business or their place, like, or even a grocery store without wearing a mask. So you can't go in to buy or sell anything without that mask. And some businesses, they would even fire employees unless they wore the mask and got the vaccine, you know. And so, but soon it's all going to change. The same infrastructure is going to be there because it's built now. It's in every nation. That's why, you know, it's the One World Government's obvious. It's on paper. We know it went down in 1968 with the Club of Rome. They're even boasting now calling the Club of Rome behind it all. And so, yeah. And so they're going to go from saying you got to wear a mask to going, if you want to go into this grocery store, you have to acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath, because that's the only way it's going to stop all these calamities that are happening all around the world. That's why, you know, climate change is the perfect fit, because it's a global problem, just like a pandemic. So I don't know why I went off in that whole area, but things happen. So, but anyway, it goes on to say here in verse 27, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. I mean, there were many prophecies that pointed to how Christ would come. We know this. We know that, if you only go into that one chapter of Isaiah, chapter 53, which is illegal to share on the streets of Jerusalem. The only reason I know that, I've never gone to Jerusalem. I have no plans to go there unless, of course, I'm flying, you know, the new Jerusalem. You know, I don't care much about the old one. But yeah, they're, it's just, because a brother in the faith contacted me some years ago on how he was out there, and he was sharing street preaching, and he was reading out loud Isaiah 53, and they threatened to throw him behind bars. Because, I mean, that's not all the prophecies, obviously, it's just one chapter, but man, but the wicked rulers here in 2,000 years ago, they did exactly as prophecy predicted they would do to the letter. And here's the weird thing. The evil that they thought to do against him was actually to be used for the good of all mankind. Talk about the overwhelming backfire, because it's constantly doing that to Satan. He's constantly, all his plans are always backfiring, because he thinks he's smart, but the Creator's a lot smarter. You know, he can use him in all sorts of ways to, you know, help us. I mean, you know, like Joseph. In his day, you know, back in Genesis 50. I mean, when you think about how his brothers could have gotten all scared or something, because they did, when they realized that was Joseph standing there, you know, they thought he was the governor of Egypt, which he was, but they thought that they were dead. They were that was it. That was done for them, because he was declaring them spies and all this, right? And so they got all scared. But Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20, you know, to calm their hearts and give glory unto God. He said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Isn't that something? It's just like what's happening now. And a lot of people don't get that either. Even with the atheists that hate the Christians, want them out of the area, you know. Sister White goes into detail about that as well. We actually saw it happen with our own eyeballs here in our neck of the woods when there was a hailstorm. Everybody out here was devastated, and it was like there was like a shield over our house. It was amazing. And that one guy that was working on AT&T actually made mention of it. He says, I've never seen anything like this before. And I says, well, it's and Larry's land too, because Larry is a friend of ours. Now, he sold the land to Zach, now a different guy, a different farmer. But he says, yeah, the people of God are protected. You know, it's just not going to happen. You know, no plague will come nigh thy dwelling, too, like when we see when it goes down with the seven plagues. But praise his name that, you know, even though his brothers thought to do these evil things, it backfired on Satan to the point where it glorified God. And it went very good for them for a while there. Okay. I thought I was getting some kind of anomaly going on the other server. So, all right, continuing. Verse 28, it says, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And a lot of people don't realize this, that the Jews couldn't, I mean, they say and all this other stuff that we can't kill because of Roman law and all this other stuff and because we're under Roman rule. Really? How well did that work out for you 3.5 years after they convinced Pilate to kill Jesus? They stoned Stephen without any kind of law from Rome saying it was okay. They could have stoned Jesus, no problem. But they wanted him tortured because they know how Rome killed with the crucifixion and the flogging, you know, like with the whipping. They knew. They wanted him. That's how, I mean, just look at the Babylonian Talmud. And the only reason I know about that book is because I was looking for some information in regards to something that I was doing on a video. And I was asking people for info. I actually asked in the video, please, if anybody has any information about this and if it's in the Babylonian Talmud and if I can find it, let me know. And they let me know. The next video, I had to say, please, please, please don't anybody read that book. It's just, I mean, if you want, you can read it. Obviously, I'm not going to say you can't. But the way they talk about Jesus in there, and it's just so vulgar and disgusting. And yeah, they were letting Satan speak right through them. They wanted Jesus tortured. And so, I mean, look at Luke 23. Luke 23 verses 4 and 5. And we all know how they use politics and stuff like that to get him there too, because even Pilate didn't want to kill him. Because look what it says. It says, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirred up the people, or he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And so, yeah, again, verse 28 again said, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. And so verse 29 says, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. Okay. But God, in the verse 30, let's see, how far I'm going to go here. Okay, I'll go to 31. Yeah, so 29 to 31. Well, I already read 29. So 30 and 31, it says, but God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Now, when I look at verse 31 here, I can't help, because a lot of people have hit me with this too over the years, and even some thoughts came into mind as to what they're going to ask if I happen to mention something like this on the street. Because if you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3, for example, that seems to confuse people, just like this verse does, where it says he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee. Acts 1:3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, some still claim that Jesus never arose. As a matter of fact, I just made a video, I haven't made a video in 13 or 14 months, but I made a video recently last year or so where the Pope literally declared that Jesus really didn't resurrect. I mean, yeah, this Pope is, he's a Jesuit, so, and the people are ready to hear it. If he or any Pope would have said that in the 1950s, yeah, they would have ran him out of town on a rail. Or tarred and feathered him. They wouldn't, not in the 50s, but let's say in the 1800s, they would have tarred and feathered him. Or killed him, assassinated him. You can't say that, but the people are ready to hear it. Because the corruption has taken its course, and it has gotten to a point where, the majority of the people out there don't believe. That's why that old man told me what he did that one day when I was out in that small town in Illinois. He said he believed that Satan was more powerful than Jesus. Because he said there's more people that, follow Satan. Yeah, always thinking of self, but, I didn't say that to him, but I says, no, it just proves that the flesh is a lot weaker than Christ. And his flesh is no different from our flesh, but Satan is not more powerful than Christ. Christ is obviously more powerful than him because he even created him before he fell. It's just that mankind is weak and not able to overcome his flesh without trying. Mankind just doesn't want to try. What Jesus did was to prove we can do it. And the 144,000 are going to know that point blank. You know, because those of us that are preparing for that day when the latter rain falls, and if we are blessed with the calling to go forth even through the plagues without even a single boil, we know and we have witnessed and discerned the changes that he's doing in our lives. And he's getting us ready for that rain or getting us ready for that martyrdom, whatever the case may be. We're okay with it because we understand we're in a holy war. And we're in the seventh trumpet. The final trumpet is blowing now. It's been blowing since, 1844, October 22nd. And some people believe, even some leaders in the SCA Church believe the trumpet stops blowing at the second coming. It says, really? All the trumpets are about war. Isn't there still a holy war in heaven? What are we going to be doing for 1,000 years? You know, the vindicated judgment. What happens at the end of 1,000 years? Another war, right? They surround the city. That's when the trumpet stops blowing, when the hellfire starts flaming up. That's when trumpet seven ends. But a lot of people don't know that, and they won't teach it. But some still claim that Jesus never arose. They say because the apostate leaders didn't see him raising proves this, but they also leave out a basic reality for that day. All Jews understood the method by which all statements were confirmed as truth. It was a different world back then. And that part has been very well covered up, the way mankind was, especially when it came to the leadership of the Jews, and even with the corrupted Jews, or even, you know, like the Gentiles and the pagans and whatnot. Everybody knew. Hence the reason Peter said what he said on the balcony that day, you know, because that one guy came up and mocked him and says, oh, we know why you guys are talking all these different languages, because you're drunk on new wine. Which, like in today's world, it says, oh, you get high by reading a label or drinking a Shirley Temple, because a Shirley Temple is a non-alcoholic drink for, like, little kids in a bar to make them feel like they're big if mommy and daddy took them in there, like in a restaurant or something. So they were mocking the apostles, and he literally says, well, we're not drunken. It's even the third hour of the day, I think he said, or it was the fifth. I think it was the third. And which was just common knowledge back then. You just didn't do certain things. It was not part of society. It just wasn't done. Well, it says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1, okay, because this is like when it comes to believing people and understanding, and this is why we do what we do even with Matthew 18 or 1 Timothy 5, is you've got to have the two or three witnesses. Okay, it says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. But much more than two or, you know, we know that much more than two or three witnesses declared that Jesus Christ was risen. And so they could not effectively rebuke anything Paul was saying here in regards to, you know, God raising him from the dead. And they knew it. And so they killed Paul as well. But that's the thing. They can't rebuke anything we're saying. Again, I was watching another street preacher the other day, and this homosexual came up demanding he stop offending them by just reading scripture. And it says, why is it it's okay for you to offend anybody, but no one can offend you? That's the way society has gone now. That's because it has to go that way so they can remove free speech. So it has the prophetic whisper fulfilled of Acts 5:29. It's the only way it's going to work. Because that's what they tried back then in 2,000 years ago. They know they couldn't rebuke the apostles. So they says, don't be talking about Jesus anymore. And of course, Peter, James, and John said what? We have to obey God rather than men, right? So they're going to go out and tell the truth anyway, like we're going to do. Yeah, they're censoring us left and right. We saw what just happened with my site, John 14:29. It's off, and all my videos have been censored, and some of you have been dealing with censorship. So, you know, we know what's up. We know it's pretty soon we're going to be off the Internet, but that's fine. We got shoes. We know we can go and hit the street and go back to doing it on the street. Not a problem. We have a God. He's going to direct us, and he's going to direct the people that are blessed. And then the loud cries are going to go forth regardless, internet or no internet. It doesn't matter. And it's still going to go through with the internet if you think about it. Because, you know, people are going to be going out there saying, did you see what this preacher did the other day? You know, they're going to start taking videos of us when we're out there. We can't do it, right? We can't buy and sell anything, too, when it comes to that time. Because they still haven't lost all their salvation until the death decree, right? When the boils start, you know, when plague one starts. But there are still a bunch of people that are going to lose their salvation just because of the buy and sell thing, because they don't want to give up their chance to, you know, buy a candy bar or a car. And so, but there's still going to be some people out there that are still riding the fence, and we're going to be out there preaching it and teaching it. And so they're going to see what we're doing, and they're going to share it, and you know it's going to hit the internet anyway, so we're still going to be out there all over the place, just like it's happening now. You know, I didn't know this for many years, that so many people link out to the site. Yeah, they can shut my site down all they want, but people have gleaned so much stuff off the sites that all of us have. Not just mine. I can't just sit there and toot my own whistle because it's not about me anyway. If it was, my last name and pictures would be all over my website, wouldn't it? And so it's just an amazing thing to watch, though, I got to say, because we're living it. We're in that time now that the patriarchs and prophets of old wanted to look into. What's this? The resurrection is sustained by eyewitnesses. Yeah, who documented what they saw. And that's another thing, too. People say, well, how come we didn't go and talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes or any of the non-believers? Well, because they didn't believe it. Well, that's pretty convenient. He's only going to talk to the people that believe it. Your point? Yeah, because they're the ones that are going to run with it. They're the ones that are going to go forth and declare it. Says, well, if you talk to a non-believer, maybe they would understand it and warn their loved ones. Really? Even if someone rose from the dead, they're going to say that? Really? Remember the parable of you know, the rich man and Lazarus? Yeah, okay. How well did that work out? Because the Lord even said, they have the patriarchs, they have the prophets. It's just like what Paul was saying here a minute ago. They have been reading the prophecies every Sabbath. If they don't believe that, you think they're going to believe Jesus if he walks up to them after he died and resurrects and stands in front of them? Later on, and within a few days, they're going to think it was some kind of a trick. Especially in today's world with holographic technology, they're going to think it was some kind of a trick. Right? Because Satan's going to have his sway over them because they have given him permission to be in their lives. That's guaranteed. And that's another good point, too, yeah. Or even Titus 3:10, Brother Duane. But, yeah, don't put your crown, you know, cast your crown before pearl, pigs. You know, don't give the truth unto the swine is what it is. So, verse 32. It says, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers. And the promise, well, I got Genesis 49:10, Isaiah 7:14. I might even go into Daniel 9, I don't know. And Micah 5. But, yeah. Cast your pearls before. Cast not thy crown. Well, you said cast not before. It looked like a typo to me. But yeah, amen. What Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And that's why I brought up Titus 3:10. Because somebody put Titus 3:10 in the room. You're very welcome, bro. Or even 9 and 10, if you look at it. Let me go to 9. Titus 3:9. Oh, because here, now, again, it's a different world. What? How come it's just censored? Oh, I see. Because it's abbreviated. You got to put in the whole word, Titus. Yeah, there's some That's just what happens when you, because people come in here and they use foul language, and so I had to put censoring stuff in there. But here, I'll put it in the room. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it'll show up with the word Titus instead of... there it goes. And I like to bring up verse 9 as well, because, like I said a moment ago, it's like a different world back then. When Paul told Titus to, you know, he says, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. And the reason he says first is because some people, you know, point blank, you don't even have to bother with coming at them with a second time to get another, you know, so that they reject you again, so as to reject them, you know. Because some people will try to, you know, just haul off and hit you upside the head the first time you bring up Jesus. Yeah, you don't bother with that kind of people. But first and second, with some people, you usually get two chances and then walk away. Let somebody else plant a seed or water the seed you just planted. You keep on, you know, trying to reach one person, it's not going to go anywhere. Pray for them. But the thing about the avoid the foolish questions about the law, and of course the genealogies and all the other good stuff, it's like saying today, because there's people out there saying you ain't got to keep the Ten Commandments anymore, or that the apostles are saying you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. That's just foolishness. They never said that. They never will. It's just, you can see, like, with the politics of the day, they'll twist the words you're saying and make it look like you're saying something else when, in fact, you're not. They do that to me and to you and to all of us. Okay? They even take some of my videos and take the audios out, remove certain words out of the audios, and then put out that edited audio in one of their videos to make it look like I said something I never did. But if you go see my original video, you'll see that, you know, they're no different than the demon-possessed or demon-oppressed people of the past. And so, but it was just simple foolishness for them to think that you didn't have to keep the Ten Commandments. It was just like laughable back then. Are you kidding? The law, you're going to say you don't have to keep it, or you're going to, you actually think these Christians say you ain't got to keep it? That's just laughable. Today, people believe it. They actually think you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore. You know? Well, you don't have to keep commandment number 4. Because when you bring it up and you tell them, it says, okay, you people are always preaching the seventh-day Sabbath. You're always preaching commandment number 4. I says, well, if you decided to declare it unto all the people like they did during the Age of Reason, when the two witnesses were killed, that you can legally, because they passed a law saying fornication was legal. So they were pushing commandment number 7 to break then, as well as 4, because they were all Sunday keepers anyway. But the thing is if that's what you were doing today, we would be exposing 4 and 7. You know, but I can come up to you and say, since you say I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments, I can literally pull out a gun right now and kill you. And they would say, no, you can't. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, well, then I can take your wife. No, you can't. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, then I'll take your house. No, you can't. My, you know, commandment number 10. This is, well, okay, well then, I can, you have to, what is it, the thing where it's, then I can come back and say, okay, well then what day is the Sabbath? And they'll say, Sunday. And says, no, you can't, because of commandment number 4. That was never changed, nor were the other ones. How is it you're telling people you got to keep all 9 of the commandments, but you can break number 4? And that number 4 actually has the seal of the living God in it. Just like the seal of the President of the United States of America. You know, name, title, territory. It's right there. Name, title, territory of the President of America would be like George Washington. That's his name. His title's President. His territory is United States of America. Well, the Lord made heaven and earth. It's right there in commandment number 4. The Lord, that's his name. And made, well, he's creator. That's his title. And what did he make? Heaven and earth. So... So it's right there, and that's the one. The reason they focus on that one is because that's the one Satan's focusing on, because the prophet Isaiah said Satan wants to be worshipped as a god, and that's why every time you see the mark of the beast mentioned in the book of Revelation, the word worship is right there with it. It's a religious law, because Satan wants to control. He wants to have everyone worship him so that he can defeat Christ, but that's, of course, not going to happen. And that's why he really focuses on the 144,000, especially the last 15 days of Plague 6, which we know as prophetic, you know, students of prophecy, is the 1 hour with the beast. When the one world government makes it legal. I mean, it's already going to be made legal, hence the reason for Plague 1. They'll pass the law, the decree will be written, kill anybody that keeps the seventh-day Sabbath, but you can't kill them until this specific date. Just like in the book of Esther, when Nahum did what he did, or Haman did what he did, you know. And so, yeah, they have to set the bill, they have to set the law, then they have to put a date of enforcement later. And the plagues fall within a year, so that the date for them to surround us at the end of Plague 6 is going to be within a year of them passing the law. Hence the reason for all those plagues. They fall within a year because that's the final straw once they pass that law. And then when they surround the 144,000 to try to kill us, that's when they realize, whoops, they messed up. So I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Next week we'll pick it up at Acts chapter 13, verse 33. Now, the next voice you shall hear will be that of Pastor Alvin. He's going to be sharing his message today. And hope and pray you're blessed then too, and I'm sure you will be. So God bless.